Hey everyone. This episode of Busted Stuff originally premiered on Spotify in November 2019, so some of the content may feel slightly out of place. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy.
John, how do you feel about the fact that Daylight Savings is ending soon?
Pretty good. Should we intro first? Before we just kind of...
No, we're fine.
No? Welcome back to Busted Stuff.
Yeah, this is Busted Stuff, where we talk about weather and time.
I'm John.
I'm Tommy. And, again, how do you feel about Daylight Savings?
I mean, I don't have strong feelings about it. I know it's a thing.
Well, I need you to have a strong feeling right now.
Okay, I hate it.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Why?
Because it just messes up everyone's... Well, I don't really hate it. Again, I don't have strong feelings about it, but it's not really entertaining.
No, it's not.
So, there are pros and cons to it. Let's talk about that,
though. All right, I like we're going into normative reasons here.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a pro-con list. Pros. So, I'll start with a pro, because I like it.
Okay.
It gets dark earlier. That's good, right? More time for darkness.
Hooray.
It gets darker earlier. So, okay... There's two sides to this. One, you can go to bed earlier because your circadian rhythms are, like, shifted, kind of. Or they're not shifted, but time is shifted in regard to your rhythms. So that way you go to bed earlier and wake up earlier, so you're more efficient and you sleep better. Mm.
Con. There's always that time... Whenever you lose the hour, it's always just a slog.
No. It's not a slog. It's the opposite, because you wake up and you're like, oh man, it's 10, and then you realize, wait, it's 9 a.m. I have a whole extra hour. Because you gain an hour. Because we set the clocks back.
No, but when you lose the hour of sleep.
Oh, but that's later. We're talking about the
present.
Right,
but I thought we were talking about, in general, daylight savings.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that case, yeah.
It's not the best.
Yeah.
It's just
really
but unpleasant.
It's nice now, though.
Yeah, sure.
Getting that extra hour.
Do you have another pro? I have another con.
Okay, pro. Well, I already kind of said it. You wake up and you're like, oh man, it's 10 a.m. I slept in. And then you realize, wait, it's only 9 a.m. That's a pro.
Okay. Con. I think the U.S. is the only place that does it, right? That does daylight savings?
Yeah.
I think there's a bill in the Ohio legislature currently that's being considered to abolish daylight savings time in Ohio.
We should just abolish all time.
Just get rid of time?
Yeah.
I think that's a good plan.
That way there's no more 9-to-5 work week.
Guess what? You'll never be late.
Exactly. Nor will you be early.
So it won't be awkward.
You'll arrive precisely when you mean to. Do you know who said that?
Was that Gandalf?
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Anyway, that was our time segment. We kind of got distracted because the theme today is Halloween.
This is the spooky podcast.
As you know, November 2nd is Halloween.
It is.
In Washington, D.C., it's actually a special holiday.
It's because of daylight savings time.
Right.
The time shifted, and so we're not late on this episode.
Yeah, also because there was supposed to be a tornado on actual Halloween, but then it didn't happen, so that was kind of disappointing. I think a tornado would have been
disappointing
exciting.
Isn't the word I'd use?
Well, I mean, you know, it was all this hype for nothing. Just some wind and rain. But anyway, that all aside... Tonight is Halloween. Let's pretend it's Halloween. And so we're going to talk about Halloween and scary things.
You know, sticking on the weather theme for a second, though.
Weather is scary.
I'll tell you, there was, I think, one of my most prominent Halloween memories in my childhood is actually weather related.
Go on.
So I'm from Connecticut. And I remember, he visibly winced when I said the word Connecticut. Damn. That's really anyway, so I'm from Connecticut, and I remember back in 2011, Halloween was actually canceled in our state because...
Isn't that crazy? They can just cancel a holiday? It's like, you know what? Independence Day? No.
That's the power of our government. So it was canceled because there was a nor'easter. It was about a month or two after Hurricane Irene hit, and so we were still dealing with, like, power outage stuff and, like, recovering from that sort of damage. And then we were just piled on with, like, 12 inches of snow. I'm a little outside of Hartford.
That's a whole foot.
That's a foot of snow. And the leaves were still on the trees at the time.
Yeah, that was the big
thing. So that would that caused all these trees to fall down because they couldn't support the weight of all the snow.
Yeah.
And so, of course, my neighborhood, we had a nice little squad in our neighborhood, and we decided to still do some Halloween celebration. So we all collected at one of our neighbor's houses, and we put up this tent and decided we're going to carve some pumpkins, regardless of the weather.
Why'd you do it in a tent?
Because it was snowing heavily outside. It wasn't like a... It was one of the... It's like four sticks in the ground with a tarp over top of it. Not like a camping tent.
Oh, like a... yeah, I know what you're talking about. One of those things. It's got a name.
I don't really know a name for it. Anyway. So, we all collected under this tent and decided we're going to carve some pumpkins regardless of the weather. And we ended up needing to snowplow, like, a section of the yard so we could actually walk in the yard. And eventually, the tent collapsed in on us because of the weight of the snow.
Okay.
And so we all kind of had to dig ourselves out from underneath this collapsed tent. And all the pumpkins, I believe, were lost that year.
Oh, that's really... That's and so 100% fatality rate in pumpkins?
It might have been slightly lower than 100, but it was pretty brutal.
Why not do it inside?
Because you don't want the pumpkin guts and stuff inside.
Well, you don't just throw them on the ground.
You just throw them in a trash bag.
Actually, that's not true. Whenever I carve pumpkins inside, I specifically scoop the guts out and just throw it at the nearest wall. You know? You just gotta make a complete mess.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, just do it in your kitchen, put them in the sink or a trash can, you know?
Well, there were like 20 of us. And so one person... It was like supposed to be a party.
Okay.
And I think we ended up going inside and watching Halloween movies.
Which movies? Because
I don't remember. Did you have any favorite Halloween movies?
No, I don't really like scary movies.
No?
They scare me. I don't like being scared.
Oh.
You know? Well, so, I actually, that's not true. I enjoy horror movies now and then. Mostly because it's kind of fun. You get, like, the adrenaline, I guess. And yeah. Though the main issue for me is the afterwards, where I can't go into a dark room because I'm scared that some, like, creepy demon...
We need to, like, turn the lights off downstairs, but...
Oh, yeah.
You need to, like, get upstairs as fast as possible.
You just scramble.
Yeah, you just, like... All right. Flick, and then sprint.
You know when, a dog is on, like, hardwood floor?
Yeah.
And they try and sprint, and their legs just go everywhere?
Yeah, that's like sort of the Scooby-Doo, like, scramble...
Just like running on all fours.
And, yeah.
You know, I crawl on all fours like the demon that's probably chasing me on all fours. And, no, I just don't like being scared by movies.
That's fair. I think that's a natural response.
I do, actually. Well, okay, so I don't watch a lot of horror movies, but I still experience weird things.
Okay.
Actually, do you have any ghost stories?
I wouldn't say I have any ghost... Like, I don't have any personal interactions with ghosts, I don't think.
Oh, you don't have any, like, pen pals?
No.
Oh.
Is a ghost pen pal a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, you write them letters. They, like, possess you or something and speak through you.
Oh?
Give you, like, a feedback kind of thing.
Hmm. No, I don't... Okay. All right.
Well, I mean, I don't either. That'd be weird.
Yeah, that's... Why would you bring that up?
I don't know.
It's just weird.
Just seeing if you're weird. So no ghost stories?
No ghost stories.
I actually... Okay, so two things. First thing was in middle school when I was in Paranormal Activity Club. I think I mentioned this to you. Where we basically went into the basement of our school and turned the lights off and then tried to talk to ghosts. And we had this like...
Very cool.
We had this like recording device that picked up like... different frequencies and electromagnetic waves or something. I don't know what it did. And so we'd go down there and be like, spirits, is anyone here? And
I like to think that the science teacher was just like sitting in the back with like a battery so that the waves like picked something up and just tricking all of you.
So no, we'd like sit around this table and we'd do it and then we'd get back and listen to the recording and then you'd hear just like psh, and then you'd hear a little noise like, and everyone's like, dude, a ghost said something.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it said hello, or no, it said help. And so everyone would freak out over like a little spritz of static, but
just like someone accidentally knocked into someone and like caused the machine to someone like coughed slightly.
Yeah, I mean, but it's, I kind of liked to believe that it was a thing, you know.
I do like to believe that there's stuff we don't understand, like supernatural things or
it's fun
cryptids or aliens or something like that.
I was actually, you know, the tunnels below Georgetown.
I do.
I was in one of those tunnels, and it's super dark.
Hmm.
And it's like it's dark enough where you start to like see things in the dark because and it's really creepy down there.
Yeah.
Like that's the, and also if you talk, the echo, it like travels all the way down the tunnel and then comes back, and that's a good place to ghost hunt because even if there's nothing there, you'll scare yourself. So they should film like ghost hunters down there. Have you seen ghost hunters?
Rarely. I don't think I've ever seen like a, it's a TV show, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a full episode. Just like,
yeah, cause like
passing.
That's the perfect thing. They have their night vision and it's like a super dark tunnel. You can't see the end of it. And then they could just be like, hello. And then you wait like a minute and then it'll be like, hello. And then they'll be like, oh my God, it's a ghost.
Even though it's them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sells.
Nice.
I think I do have a ghost. No, I don't have a ghost story. I have a hallucination story.
Okay.
So I was lying in bed and trying to fall asleep.
Mm.
Actually, I might have like woken up in the early morning or something, but regardless, I look at the door and I see like kind of a shadowy thing.
Okay.
Right.
Like,
and I'm
a,
like
a figure? Or
no,
like
just
a,
like
kind of,
it's like dark, right? Okay. So I can't see, you know how when, it, like as I was saying, it's super dark, you can't really make out shapes, so your mind sort of imagines stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, it's probably just like a door. And so I lie back down. But the problem is whenever I lie down, I can hear my heartbeat in my ears.
Okay.
And I thought it was footsteps.
Oh.
And so I hear my heart beating. I'm like, wait, is someone like coming up the stairs? And then I look over at the door. And I don't know if it was like my sleepy state or something, but it, I see this weird like shape kind of wandering by.
Mm.
It's sort of like poking around the door. And it looks very, you know, like how jellyfish look underwater.
Like, kind of blobby and...
Blobby, but, like, little tentacles, like, waving around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just sort of, like, there floating, and I was like, oh, I better stop looking at this, because if you don't look at it, it's not real.
Right.
That's common knowledge.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's terrifying, and my heart was beating really fast, and I was like, wait, is it walking in here? It's really scary, but that's... Anyway, that's how I discovered Octopus Man.
I love that your most salient memory as a child, in terms of, like, ghost story stuff, is your jellyfish demon.
Yeah, well, it's Octopus Man.
Octopus Man, specifically.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Octopus Man, he hasn't come back, but I'm kind of waiting for his return.
The return of Octopus Man.
The second coming.
Wow.
You know how, like, demons are kind of exorcised and they leave, but then they come back somehow?
It's like a,
Yeah.
I don't have anything.
If you've seen the movie It, it's like Pennywise.
That's exactly what I was going to say, but I didn't say it.
Good.
So, I'm glad I don't say things on this podcast. So, what you're saying is, as a child, you, like, in this little loser club, otherwise known as your middle school ghost hunters club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You, maybe the jellyfish demon, maybe Octopus Man was what... said hello in your middle school basement.
We summoned him in the basement, and then, of course, he had to latch onto me.
Yeah.
You know, he could have picked anyone in the room, but he was like, this one will do.
Well, you were the one who thought that it was just a cough, so he had to prove you wrong.
Right, okay, yeah. So he goes for the skeptics.
Mm.
But even now, though, I'm still skeptical.
Uh-huh.
But so that's why he wants to come back.
What you're getting at is we might have a visit from Octopus Man tonight?
Actually, in maybe soon, in this very studio.
Ooh.
It is the Halloween
special. Look forward
to
that.
So Octopus Man is coming. He's actually making a guest appearance.
Hmm.
I wonder what it'll do.
I guess we'll find out.
Does he talk?
I don't know.
Okay.
Can he even vocalize?
Well, you know, he's an octopus. They have beaks. Wait, do they have beaks? No, squid have beaks.
Squid have beaks.
What do octopus have?
I think octopi have like...
Oh, sorry. Octopi.
Yeah.
All right, hot shot.
Here's the thing. My cousin is studying marine biology, or I think marine biology, in Oregon, and she, like, for college.
I thought that was elementary school.
She's actually in her middle school marine biology club, and
right.
they look for octopus.
They look for ghosts in the ocean.
So She recently wrote an article about this octopus who escaped an aquarium.
Oh.
And how octopi are really intelligent. But the most memorable thing from the it really struck me. Apparently, octopi is correct, but octopuses is also correct. And there's a third. Do you know what the third is?
Octopoo?
Yes. It's oct. No, it's not. Oh. It's octopodes.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that? Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I wonder what the etymology is. It's a Greek word, right?
Yes.
Octo?
Yes.
Podes?
Oh, you know, it's like asparagus.
Asparapodes?
Asparagode.
I don't know if that's real or not.
No, it's not. Okay. Asparagus is not the same as octopus. So you know how there's the word asparagus, and there's the word octopus.
They both
end with U-S.
Right.
But I'm saying that asparagus, the same rule doesn't apply. Right?
Is asparagus a Greek word?
I don't think so. It doesn't seem like it is.
Where's asparagus from?
The ground.
All right. I meant, like, geographically.
The crust of the earth?
I meant, like...
It's grass, right?
Asparagus.
Maybe it is Greek. I don't know. I could kind of see that.
Asparogi. I bet you I'm not going to find a simple answer because... God knows, it can't be that simple. Temperate Asia.
Oh, okay. Where's that?
Most of Europe and Western Temperate Asia.
Oh, Western Asia. I mean, that gets into Anatolia, which is close to Greece.
You know, I bet it is perhaps Greek.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not going to keep looking.
But why?
The English word asparagus derives from classical Latin.
Oh.
But the plant was once known in English as... Sparage, from the medieval Latin.
Sparage.
From the medieval Latin sparagus.
Okay, so that means octopus.
The term itself Latin? Derives from the Greek asparagos or asparagos, and the Greek term originates from the Persian asparag, meaning sprout or shoot.
Okay,
so it's Persian.
Interesting.
Which I guess is West Asian.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wait, what was the English one? Spriggage.
Sparage.
I like sparage. Why don't we call it that?
I kind of like that more than asparagus.
Yeah, it's like, oh, sparage again. You know, you can... I feel like sparage goes well.
It's tighter.
Sparage. It's kind of harder to say. Sparage.
Asparagus. Sparage.
Yeah, the
It might be sparig.
Sparig? That sounds weird.
I don't like that. I feel like it should be sparage.
Yeah, I mean, sparage is good.
Hmm.
What was the Persian word? Asparag? No.
The Persian word was asparag, meaning sprout or shoot.
But it's grass, right?
I guess it's a sprout.
Is grass a sprout?
Perhaps.
Okay.
I'm satisfied with that.
What do you call it when it's really quiet? It's not like a heavy pause. You know what I'm talking about?
Deafening silence.
Yeah, that's one word to say. It's like deafening silence or it's like when there's tension. I mean, deafening silence works. I think there was another term I was trying to think of, but whatever. I'll try and think of it, but
it's all right.
What is deafening silence? Is that an oxymoron? No.
Yes.
Well, I guess it is. But that's but
we have a real linguistic theme on this podcast today.
If you say like any word that's an opposite and string them together, that doesn't make it an oxymoron. Doesn't an oxymoron have to be like a real? I guess deafening silence is.
Deafening silence is real.
But is it on the same level as like jumbo shrimp or freezer burn?
Because
those are like real concepts.
What makes deafening silence not a real concept?
It's because it's more abstract, I guess.
Maybe.
And, like, you can eat jumbo shrimp or you can get freezer burn, but deafening silence is more of, like, a...
You can experience it, and that's all.
Yeah, it's more of, like, an idea.
It's a concept. So that was our we don't know what to talk about, so we talked about silence.
It's too self-aware.
Let's talk about music.
Okay.
So, a lot of time when you listen to music, it's for different reasons. Like, you have a chill playlist, you have an exercise playlist, you know, study playlist, that sort of thing. So we were talking about our exercise playlists kind of recently.
Yes, for exercise.
Yes. And we found out that they're quite different. So what do you listen to when you exercise, Tommy?
Usually, so I like music that's intense.
Mm.
Kind of gives me energy, some hype up kind of vibe. So that'll be like intense parts of movie soundtracks, some rap, some metal, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I feel like I'm a bit of a strange case with this one because my exercise playlist, I don't think it's full of really high energy. Like, there's some high energy songs in there, but it's not mainly composed of stuff that gets me pumped up or ready to, you know, exercise necessarily. It's just mm-hmm. songs that I kind of like.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure why that is, but...
Well, so, see, you listen to exercise music. I listen to lifting music. It's different.
Oh.
You know? Lifting is a more visceral experience. It's more violent.
It's more aggressive.
Yeah, because you're slamming metal around.
That's true.
Exercise is like, you know, you're doing crunches.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Lifting is like, I'm hitting things repeatedly. Or like, I'm gonna pick up this heavy piece of iron and then put it down and make a loud noise.
It's like, do you make loud noises when you exercise?
Yeah, I just scream.
Are you that guy?
No,
that just scream to the heavens.
Every single set, it's just like a guttural scream.
Curse you, Octopus Man! Curse you!
That's why I'm in there to be able to fend off Octopus Man.
That's right.
No, it's like every single set.
Everything you do in your life is just in anticipation for the return.
The
of
second
Octopus
coming.
Man.
Yeah, it's like a religion.
Hmm.
I'm building up my strength to be able to fend him off.
Yeah.
But no,
So the exciting music helps with that then?
Yeah, no, I like you get to a really hype part of a song and then you bust out a set versus, you know, you're just kind of like listening to something in the background. And so it's, the music sort of guides my workout.
Hmm.
Or like it enhances it. It's not just the soundtrack, it's sort of the, it's like an opera versus a movie score.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean by that.
So, a movie score...
I was with you until the very end.
Okay, wait, this might be a bad metaphor. I'm going to explain it and we can see if it's good.
Okay.
So, with an opera, the music is the story.
Mm.
The whole thing is sung. Whereas with a movie soundtrack, the music is in the background and it's going. And yeah, it's very important for like emotions and stuff, and it factors into the feeling of the movie. But it doesn't necessarily control the story.
I see. I guess that works, but it's interesting because how you're describing my playlist as just like a background element.
Mm.
I'm using pop music. You're the one using movie scores.
Right. So I think mine's like both of the things
it's
I described.
Quite a confusing metaphor.
Okay, let's cancel that metaphor.
Okay, metaphor canceled.
We don't need a metaphor, I feel like. We kind of... I think the point was made.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's...
My music is generally just, like, a background. It's just kind of going. And I don't change my behavior according to the music. It's just to entertain me so I don't get bored.
Yeah. See, I use it to, like, fuel the rage, you know? What you're talking about is, you don't work out angry, do you?
I don't work out angry.
That's the best way to work out.
Is it?
You gotta get mad.
I feel like that's a... I don't need more negative emotions in my life.
Do you have a lot of negative emotions?
No, I don't. I'm not saying I do.
So
I'm just saying
one. You need it to keep the balance.
Wow.
Well, it's not like you know, you're lifting and you're just like, oh, I hate everything. It's more like you're channeling this very intense emotion into something.
Is anger the right word then, or is
maybe
it
not
like intensity?
Intensity is too vague, though.
That's true.
You know, there's some. It's like fun. But it's
fun
also
aggression.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know? It's like, I wouldn't consider myself a very aggressive person.
No, I wouldn't say so either.
So it's fun to like do an intense lift or like sprint or just do something hard and sweat and like run out of breath and treat that as like an outlet of just
like a stress reliever.
I guess so.
Do you use it for stress? I use my exercise for stress relief, but that's just because it's a period of time where I'm just doing physical things and listening to music and not necessarily thinking about anything.
Yeah, usually I don't approach it as stress relief. Like, I don't go to the gym to be like, all right, I'm stressed, I gotta go to the gym. It's more like I'm at the gym and now I'm gonna like just you know, it's like I'm here, I wanna work.
Yeah,
let's put on something intense and work.
All right.
As opposed to like, I'm not trying to just, you know, go there and be like, I have to let my emotions out. It's more like, I need to pick this weight up and then put it down really loudly, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like that. Actually, I don't really put things down loudly. I'm generally
You're pretty, very courteous about that.
I'm pretty quiet in the gym, to be honest. It's all mental. Inside, I'm screaming. But to the outside, I'm just sort of like, you know, staring around, breathing heavily sometimes.
One to two facial expressions at a time.
Right. Just like grimace or not grimace.
Yeah.
Or smile. Sometimes I smile.
Just kind of jovially bopping around while you sprint around the track.
No, like when I'm running on the track and I'm like, wow, I'm having fun. Smile a bit, you know?
I think the running bit is the most entertaining bit of any exercise to me because, mm-hmm. I mean, both of us have background. We both did cross country.
Yes.
But even just apart from that, it's kind of like, it involves your whole body rather than just like a certain bit,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of it's movement. You know, you can kind of bounce as you run.
It's also like, but when your form is good, mm. and you feel good, like that's when I'm happy. You know, it's like when I'm coming around the track and I know I'm running well. Like I'm running comfortably, my form looks nice, and I'm like I'm like, yeah, I'm bettering myself right now. I feel good about it. But I mean, then later on in the run when I'm all sweaty and just like, you know, that's when I have to turn to, that's when music becomes more important because I think that's what it is. When I'm like really tired or really pushing myself, the music sort of allows me to dig into some deeper sort of fuel, kind of my like Sith side, you know, kind of tap into the dark
tap
side of
it. The dark side of your energies.
Yeah, and get some of that vibe coming out. And that way, I don't have to, you know, work with this, I'm bettering myself. It's like, I'm going to kill something. But like, this
I'm
weight.
Coming for you, sleep paralysis demon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think that's when workouts are the most fun.
Mm.
Like just the, I don't know, intensity of emotion. It's just, I'm going to do that after this.
That's good.
I'm going to work out. I'm going to run as well.
Nice. I think I'm going to get a haircut after this. Well, I'm gonna eat a sandwich because I haven't really eaten a whole lot today.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna get a haircut.
Where are you gonna go?
I don't know. I think there's one in Georgetown. Like, isn't it on M?
There's
Street?
One on Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yeah. That's
I'm gonna go to that one.
That one's fine. I went there a couple of weeks ago, or a month ago, or a couple months ago. It was a month ago. When you were a kid, did you decide when you got haircuts?
No, not really. It was kind of dictated to me. It was haircut time. Sorry.
No, I want to hear it.
So, I went to the same barbershop for, you know, like, I think every kid has that barbershop they go to all the time, and then eventually they go to a different one when they're, you know, not a child anymore. And so I went to this barbershop, and my mom always loved to have our hair, meaning my brother and I, our hair cut pretty short,
mm-hmm.
and I had grown it out to be quite long, kind of like a boyish long haircut, but then the barber and my mom were talking in the back and were like, I don't know, we should cut it relatively short because I think it's gotten way too long, and I think he's starting to like this messy feel. He's starting to be rebellious and, you know,
he's starting to
unruly.
Eat weird things. He's been going outside and climbing trees and eating birds.
What?
I think it's his hair. we need to fix.
There's
Mr. Barber, fix my son.
I don't know where the bird thing came
I don't know,
from.
I was thinking like you became like an animal.
I scoured the grounds for sparage.
For sparage. Yeah. Except that you couldn't find any, so you just started
eating worms
and stuff.
Oh god. Eat mud.
Just like crawling around, just slathered in mud, of course.
Yeah. So they decided that they were going to cut my hair like a lot shorter than it had been. And so they did, and I got so upset.
Oh, I have the same thing.
It broke me.
Did you cry?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that happened to me once.
And so after that, like, that's the moment of liberation for me. That's when I became in control of my own haircut. Okay. Because it traumatized me so much that my mom actually felt bad about it.
Wow.
If you're listening, it's okay, Mom. And and so the... And from there, that's why I have my hair currently, like, relatively long.
Right.
My haircut since then has been... It's evolved somewhat, but it's still always been a long-ish haircut for guys. And I think it's because I'm have this deep-seated, you know, trauma from an early childhood moment of when my hair was too short.
I had this exact same thing happen, except as I got older, I've just sort of started cutting my hair shorter. Last year when I came to school, I didn't get my hair cut for like 4 months, and that was more because I didn't know where to get it cut, and so I was like, whatever, I'll just let it grow. But I prefer when it's shorter now.
I think I do too, but I'm also kind of lazy.
Yeah, totally. It's, you know, it's like, I have to walk all the way out into town to get my hair cut. Like,
that and, like, the way that I usually have... I have this weird flop in my hair that covers large part of my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I can replicate that relatively well at other barbershops or if it's just a thing that my barber knows how to do back in my hometown.
That's the other thing. Yeah, having your hometown barber is nice because they know exactly what you want.
Exactly. So when I go get my haircut today... I don't know what's going to happen, because I haven't actually gotten a haircut in D.C. yet.
You should just tell them to, you know, be like, do what you think is best, and then see what they do.
Ooh, that's a risky business.
If someone cut your hair too short now, how would you feel?
I would be less... I wouldn't cry in the barbershop, probably.
Okay.
You don't know. If they shaved my head, I might.
Okay.
Probably not. I'd just be very upset. How do you feel about getting your head shaved?
It depends on the context.
I guess that's true.
But, I mean, so if it happened, I'd be like, okay, this is bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't be pleased about it.
I feel like it would just look very weird. Because I've never seen my head before.
I haven't either.
So.
That's interesting.
That would be scary, and I feel like I have a weird head shape, you know? So, like, I don't want to deal with that.
What do you mean? Like,
I've got, like, a balloon head. Well, it's not
slightly eggish?
It's not as obvious as when I was a little kid. Because before, it used to be my head just sort of went up and, like, ballooned outward. And I've grown into my head.
You're like a me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like a me, actually. And
yeah.
So now I just don't really want to see that. But, I mean, if I ever get my head shaved, it might be interesting. And it'll grow back. So that's the thing, you know?
I don't think there's a foreseeable future where I get my head shaved.
Well, if you join the Marine Corps, they'll shave your head on the first day.
Yeah. I guess they would. I don't know if I would do that, though. I don't know if I'm cut out for that.
Yeah. They might, though. You know, they might just come shave your head anyway.
Yeah?
Yeah, they actually... When Marshall
that's,
Law...
That's my sleep paralysis demon.
Just a man with a razor?
A barber.
A barber?
Yeah. A jellyfish barber.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. But what if that was a thing, though? What if there was mandatory head shaving? Like, there was a lice outbreak that was so bad, they forced the entire population to shave.
That's a dystopian, almost.
If you shave... Well, lice can still get into wigs, right?
Yeah.
So everyone would have to be bald.
Hmm.
That'd be kind of interesting. You should write a book about that. How would the world change at all if everyone was bald?
Fashion industry would be... A lot less profitable, probably.
But you don't wear clothes on your hair.
Fashion meaning like, you know, like hair.
No.
All right. like hair products and stuff.
Hair products, yeah.
Hair products, barbershops.
Right. Well, I mean, you still have to keep
it. Would you still need to get it shaved?
It's not like they chemically remove all hair. I think you still have to get it touched up.
You should probably get it like burnt, right?
Isn't like that laser a thing? Treatment?
Yeah, like laser hair removal, like yeah. So it doesn't go back.
I don't
back.
Think that's permanent, though, is it?
I thought it was.
Oh, maybe it is.
I thought that's why you use the lasers.
So let's say it's permanent. So okay. Barbershops go out of business. You know, Pantene goes out of business. Dove men's shampoo is no longer a thing. but they can still
specifically
sell
Dove.
However, well, just any of them. However, the lack of hair leaves scalps. So scalp stuff is going to become the new big thing.
That's true.
So now the hair industry is going to focus on the shiniest scalps and stuff.
Polish? Right. Barber shops are replaced with polish shops.
Yeah, you just go to get your head polished.
Wow.
It's mandatory as well. You have to have really shiny heads. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that included in like an insurance plan or something? Like a...
Oh, I don't know. That's for them.
Like a mandatory thing?
Could be. And then the thing is, though, in the vacuum of the hair industry, the head stuff industry comes into place. So, like, new hats.
Different kinds of hats.
New ways to do head things, like putting on scarves and, you know, hats. Because people are going to want to cover their head if it's hot. You know, you don't want to get a sunburned head.
Yeah. So hats sunscreen would probably sunscreen become industry. Much more popular.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't. Everyone would just get head cancer on their skin. Oh. That's the thing. I've never really had a sunburnt scalp. No. But if I didn't have hair, my scalp would burn all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's like the one part of your body that has no shadowing.
Hmm.
Is there anything else that... Yeah, like every other part of your body, it's like in some angle, like there's going to be your body will cast a shadow on itself, but your head is the top. So there's nothing there. It's a mandatory baldness.
There you go.
Could be fun. Tense pause? There's a word for it. It's not deafening silence.
Maybe it's like... Is it like hanging in the air?
Yeah. But what is it?
What is hanging in the air?
The some kind of quiet is there. And it's like... what do you say?
The energy in the air? No.
A pregnant pause. I think that's what
a
I was looking for.
A pregnant pause? Yeah. I've never heard of that before.
Okay, I don't know where I heard that.
I feel
that.
Like that's not what you think.
I think that might be it, actually. Because it has to do with the fact that...
Loaded pause?
A pregnant pause is a pause that builds up suspension in the listener or viewer.
Really?
Yeah, for a greater dramatic effect of what follows after the pause.
That's a new idiom for me.
I don't know where I first heard that.
It's an interesting one.
But yeah, pregnant pause. That's what I was looking for. Okay, I'm glad we realized this.
Hmm. Do you have any fun Halloween costumes that you've ever dressed up as?
Ever. So I used to make Halloween costumes. That was always fun. My favorite was the Hershey bar, where I wore a brown long sleeve shirt and pants, and then duct taped the word Hershey down.
Wow.
And it looked...
In duct tape? So
yeah.
It was like silvery?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was... Nice.
And I think the brown pants I wore were actually the same pants I wore when I got attacked by a cactus.
What?
So are you familiar with a jumping cactus?
No.
So
please explain.
Jumping cactus is a cactus that literally jumps off the ground and attaches to people or things that go by it.
Wow.
It's like a defense mechanism. Basically, if you step on its roots or something, it springs up.
It, like, shoots needles?
No, the whole cactus, like, it shoots, like, a ball of cactus.
That's aggressive.
Yeah. And so I was in Arizona. I was, like, 4.
Mm.
And I was outside, and I got cactused. I think I must have stepped on it, or I must have angered them somehow.
You angered the cactopode.
Yes. Well, yes. Oh, wait, cactus. No, just be cactoad.
The cactoad.
I angered the cactoad. And, yeah, it just leapt up right into my knees. And it tried to hamstring me, but fortunately I prevailed.
You sprinted away.
Well, no, I still got hit. I mean, they stuck to me.
Oh.
We had to pull them out. But those were the brown pants. I think it was the same brown pants. It might not have been, but I was just thinking about brown pants.
Octopode man strikes again.
Yeah, all the poads are working against me.
That's true. There's like a poad alliance.
A poad code. No.
No.
Yeah, so Hershey costume was good.
Uh-huh.
What else? It was a barcode. That was a fun one.
That's good.
Yeah, it was just...
I like the pun costumes.
What do you mean?
So, like, there's a... Oh, someone in my class, she was a devil's advocate. So she had, like, devil horns and stuff, but also she had, like...
A gavel?
Like, a jacket on.
Okay.
So she was, like, an advocate. It was funny. That sort of stuff is always, like... my favorite, but I'm never clever enough to actually come up with it myself.
Those are the costumes that make you go like, ha ha, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, nice. But, I mean, those are better than, like, the low effort. Because if someone just put on, like, you know, devil horns, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
That's kind of lame.
Cat ears or something.
Ugh. The amount of cat ears I saw last night.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Like, it's like, okay, I get it. Like, you couldn't think of anything, but don't just do that.
I mean, so here's the thing. I do appreciate when they do more. Like, if it's just cat ears, it's like, all right. But if you at least do, like, face paint and stuff, then, like, that's better.
Or it's the same when, if someone wears, like, a jersey. You just wear a sports jersey. It's like, okay, this is not
that's
a costume.
That's not a costume.
Don't pretend you're dressing up.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
Like, if I was holding a Halloween party, I would turn them away at the door.
Wow.
Be like, no, really? I'm sorry. And I wouldn't even be wearing a costume.
Yeah?
Because I don't really do Halloween.
You would just be the arbiter.
I would just be like, no, sorry, you have to leave. And they'd be like, but I'm a sports guy. I'd be like, no, you're not. You're a college student in a jersey. Go home and rethink your life.
That's brutal.
I'd give them a few dollars to, like, buy some ice cream or something, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's nice of you.
But, yeah, I don't like lazy costumes.
Mm.
I feel like costumes should involve a certain amount of arts and crafts, or at least some kind of, like, thought, you know?
Yeah. Whenever I did a costume when I was younger, I would always work with my... So my mom did art when she was in college, and so we would always... And I was also into art. I went to art school, by the way. I don't know if you knew that about me.
Really?
I went to an art school when I was... Well, as, like, a side thing when I was in third grade to, like, fifth grade, maybe. Cool. So, yeah. We were both artsy, and so we would always make it a project that she would inevitably do the heavy lifting on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's
how
it goes.
My parents were the same when we made Halloween costumes.
Yeah. And so one year I remember I was Bowser from Super Mario Brothers.
Nice.
And it was the most incredible costume. It was real. So I had this jacket, and it had, like, the, you know, the yellow skin texture on Bowser.
Yeah.
And, like, the turtle thing. I had a trash can lid strapped to my back for the shell.
Nice.
And we had this, it was a great hood where, like, I put it was like a mask that I put on, and it was Bowser's face with, like, his big puffy mouth and eyes and red hair and stuff. But when I put it on, my face was in Bowser's mouth.
Okay.
So it looked like I was being swallowed by Bowser.
Okay.
A bit dark. But, you know.
Does he eat people?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think the games are that violent. I think you just kind of jump on his head.
Right. I think the scariest costume I've owned, it's not mine. We have this George Bush mask. And it's sort of like cursed.
Mm.
That's a word I would use. Because it looks like George Bush, but it's horrible.
It's like a haunted George Bush.
Yeah, you know how those rubber masks, like, smell really weird?
Oh, God.
It's like, it smells, it looks like the way it smells.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
And so there's actually
So like George Bush.
Yeah, he probably smells like old rubber.
Oh.
And it's just, like, really...
Sorry, George.
Really kind of just disturbing looking.
Mm-hmm.
And he has eye holes cut out, so it just looks like his face melted, kind of.
Yikes.
And I think one year I was George Bush.
Wow.
And it was, like, actually scary.
What year?
Like, I don't know.
Were you old enough to know who George Bush was?
Well, yeah. I mean, I knew presidents when I was... By the time I was probably in second grade, I knew presidents existed. I think.
Right, fair enough.
It was probably elementary school or middle school, I would say.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's a creepy mask. It's funny, though. I know it's, you know, have you seen president masks? Like, they have them over.
Yeah, I always see them in, like, Halloween stores and stuff.
Yeah.
The Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton masks.
Right, it's
always
the same,
like,
thing.
Kinda, it's like, they're both ghoulish.
Yeah, exactly. It's just creepy. Did you ever have the president's physical fitness test?
Yes. The pacer test?
The fitness gram pacer test. No, it was the presidential physical fitness test.
I don't know if I had that then. I might have.
So you had, it was like the mile run and then push-ups, sit-ups,
oh,
pull-ups,
yeah.
Stretching.
Yeah, we had to do that.
Shuttle run.
Yeah, I was always one of the, I was always near, like, last in the mile.
Oh.
I was that kid who would run for, like, 15 minutes. Oh. And then, like,
yeah.
It was no bueno.
I remember, did you guys have it where you got, like, little, like, the badges?
No.
Because with us, it was, you get, there's blue presidential badge, red national badge, and then white participant badge.
Aww.
That was for the people who didn't. So basically, you had to get presidential in all categories to get presidential, and then you had to get national or presidential and everything to get national, and then if you had a participant, you got participant. I think that's how it worked. And so the mile time, by the time we were in, like, maybe fifth grade, I'd say.
Yeah.
Or fourth grade, the mile was, like, to get presidential, I think it was maybe, like, mid-seven. Mid-sevens or something.
Yeah.
Or, like, eight. And for the whole, every year before that, when I've done the physical fitness test, I couldn't get my mile down. I mean, I was the same. I just couldn't run a fast mile. I could do the push-ups. I could do the sit-ups and all that. And then so Obama got elected, mm-hmm. and then I did the mile.
Wow.
I only ever got presidential while Obama was president.
He gave you his energy.
Yeah, well, actually, when you get presidential, you get a piece of paper that has, like, his signature on it.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's his real signature.
Yeah?
He's, like, specifically he for you.
All of them.
Like, yeah, you random middle schooler, you get my signature. And I'm going to do this a million times.
Wow.
But that was the physical fitness test. I liked doing it. It was kind of a fun way to prove myself.
I was never a sporty kid. Last podcast we talked about my baseball abilities.
Yeah.
And this time we'll talk about my inept gym class abilities.
I miss gym class.
Oh, I don't.
I wasn't sporty, though. I wouldn't consider myself sporty. I played sports, but I wasn't a sporty kid. I just had fun.
Okay. I don't think I ever really enjoyed it because kids were so sporty at my school.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly wasn't, especially then. And so...
What kind of stuff do you guys do in gym class?
We did, you know, like soccer and basketball and all that sort of stuff. And dodgeball was always a fun time. Dodgeball and capture the flag were
always, I love capture
always
the flag.
Best ones.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever have these like holiday things you would do in gym class? So we did for when it was Christmas time, when it was the winter season, we did these reindeer races around the gym. Where
we did not do that.
So what it was kind of weird, I guess, looking back on it, but it was, we had these two, like, pretty big sleds. I think the sleds were really just, like, foam blocks on, like, rolling boards, like boards with wheels on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have two teams, and they would get on the, you would have a driver for the sled, you would have a rudder for the sled, and you would have two people at the front pulling the sled with ropes.
And would you do this in the snow?
No, you do it inside the gym. You do a loop.
Okay.
And you would race with the other, there would be two sleds, and you would race around the gym.
How did that not end up in just like a total fist fight? Because I feel like you'd run into each other and like just start fighting.
You gotta be focused in order to win the race.
But, like, wouldn't it be easier just if you take out the other team?
I mean, I assume the teacher would stop us at that point, you know, once they saw all these little kids just sprawling
each other. That was, like...
The same could be said about Capture the Flag and stuff.
Oh, no, I mean,
How
Capture the Flag...
How did that not get into just...
Well, no, it did. The
oh,
strategy
it didn't
was
us.
You go for the man, not the flag.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it was... So... We
That's
had this
intense.
Game called Pillow Polo Hockey
okay.
in middle school.
I've never heard of this before.
It's basically, you have sticks with, like, kind of foam pads on them, and you use it to hit, like a beach ball.
Hmm.
And it's sort of, it's like hockey or soccer, you know, it's points-based. There's a goalie, and the whole team is together, and you hit the ball, you pass it, and you shoot, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just a ball game. And at the beginning, though, you have, like, a face-off where... You know, like hockey or lacrosse
face-off? A
face-off
where two kids are thrown into a ring, and they... beat each other until
yeah.
one of them can't stand it.
No, exactly.
Wow.
So you'd have the ball, the gym teacher would have the ball and he'd put it in the middle, and then the two people doing the face-off would stand on either side and get ready to go.
Yeah.
And then they would blow the whistle and you go for it, and, you know, some people would try and hit the ball away, others would, like, wait for them to hit it, and then they would, you know, like, it's like soccer, you know?
Yeah.
Or, no, it's more like lacrosse or hockey. Except when we did it, we would always, you ignore the ball and you just tackle the person. You know, you just, like, you just go for their
just
body.
Go for the legs.
Or, you know how, you, like, hip check them, kind of.
Wow.
Know? You just shove them away from the ball. And, yeah, it was fun.
So, they probably, I mean, at least at my school, I think they would stop kids from doing that and not let them play if they continued.
Yeah, well, I think if so, it depends on who it was. Usually, you'd only do that if it was your friends.
Right.
So I'm not going to go up to some random kid and like, just cross-check them into the wall or something, but like...
Break them.
Yeah. With friends, though, it was like a total... It was just fighting. And that was nice. Fun. It was like sanctioned combat for nice. Us.
Did you ever have like fighting games on like during recess in elementary school?
So
like, did he do army or something like that on the...
We did this game called Girl Chase in like first grade.
That sounds problematic.
I know. It kind of sounds... It was basically... It was tag, but it was girls versus boys.
Okay.
And so boy chase was the opposite.
So the girls would play boy chase and the guys would play girl chase basically, at the same time.
It's a massive game of tag where all the guys are it or all the girls are it. And then everyone just like runs after each other. But I think every single time someone got hurt.
Yeah, that sounds about
Because like
right.
you run into the woods and like someone gets tripped and someone shoves someone else into a tree. And like there were always tears. One time we were playing soccer. We played soccer most days. That was our biggest thing.
There was always a soccer thing outside during our recess, but I was never into the soccer because it was too physical.
Yeah.
And so we did, like, I would always go for the foursquare.
Oh, foursquare was fun. That got violent, too.
Oh, yeah. That got a bit aggressive.
A soccer goal once fell on my head when we were playing soccer. Some kid was, he jumped. You know how kids were, like, they jump up and they hang on to the crossbar?
Yeah.
So the kid was hanging on it, but the goal didn't weigh that much because it was, like, a medium size, and it fell over, and I was, like, standing... kind of near it.
Yeah.
So it just smacked me right on top of my head, and I was like, ow, that hurt. And we went back to get in line to go inside. I think it was like second grade, and I like patted my head, and my hand just covered in blood. And there was this kid standing in front of me, and I was like, yo, look. And they're like, dude, what? That's gross. And I was like, my head's bleeding. And I was like, it's like, so
wow.
cool.
Oh my god.
And they're like, oh my god, ew, go to the nurse or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you guys have to go to the nurse a lot?
Not really. Just for, like, checkup stuff.
We liked going to the nurse.
It was Did
kinda,
you?
Yeah, it was kind of fun, you know, be like, oh, I like...
Just getting away from classes?
Yeah,
or?
Exactly.
See, the kids would always get away from classes in, like, fourth and fifth grade by doing choir.
Oh.
Everyone did choir because you got to leave class early and go to that instead of doing last period.
Yeah.
But because of that, like, almost the entire class would vacate.
Right.
And so in that last period, the teacher wouldn't be able to actually teach anything because everyone had left for choir. And so those of us who didn't join choir still didn't have to do anything. And so I was part of that group that played the system a little bit.
Nice.
And
it was a good time. Who wants to do choir? That's lame.
Yeah.
We had in fifth grade, we had a requirement. You had to do choir or band.
Mm.
Fifth grade band was hilarious.
You had to.
Yeah. Hilariously bad fifth grade band because most of the kids have never played their instruments before.
Yeah.
And so it's like we play Hot Cross Buns or something, you know, and it just sounds like many elephants dying. And fifth grade choir was better because like in music class we'd all sung before, so we were familiar with singing.
Yeah.
Whereas instruments, it's like, you know, if you just give a kid a saxophone, they're not going to be able to make a sound natural, like a good sound on the first day. And except by that time I had been playing drums for a couple years and a friend of mine had been playing bass. So we both kind of knew what we were doing.
So you were the cool kids.
Exactly.
Is what you're getting at.
We actually got to play. My friends and I, the two of us got to do like a solo song while the rest of the band was just like watching at our concert. We played Twinkle Twinkle Little Star as a bossa nova. It was so tacky.
Nice.
But we were like, yeah, we're cool. We know how to play our instruments and stuff.
Yeah, check this out. Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Because, the problem with fifth grade band, as a drummer, all I could play was snare drum.
Okay.
And...
You didn't have a set at the time?
No, so I had a kit.
Oh,
but
you did.
Fifth grade band's music was only for snare drum.
Right.
And snare drum was where, like, all the, like, the rejects of music went.
Mm.
It was like, if you have absolutely no ability, play snare drum. Because you're just smacking a thing.
Yeah.
And they always play way too loud and, like, horrible rhythm.
Mm.
And I think snare drum was, like, the number one thing that made fifth grade band bad. I mean, it's not to say the rest of the musicians were good.
All of them were bad.
I mean, the whole thing was
except
bad.
Except for you and your...
Because me and my friend, we kind of knew what we were doing. I mean, we weren't
like,
very good, you know,
okay.
like 10. But we still had a leg up. But yeah, that was... I'd want to see some recordings of fifth grade band playing, because it was pretty funny.
We actually, in music class, we did these Halloween like and holiday centric performances. I remember, so every for Halloween or for Christmas, we would all kind of sit in like a big group on the floor.
Oh, we would do this kind of thing.
And everyone would get an instrument, and then the teacher would just teach us how to play our certain bit for the song that day. And we would just do that, and it'd be Halloween themed or something.
That was fun.
But then we never did it again, and like never used it for anything. It was just, here, play this instrument for my entertainment.
Adam, music class was fun.
It was fun.
It was music class and gym class and art class. Those were all fun parts of school.
Yeah.
I missed that aspect of...
Those were a good time.
It's like you just get to do fun things.
Yeah.
And it's not...
I guess that's because, like, elementary school, in general, is a babysitting service.
Yeah. I mean, you're like... You learn how to read, write, and do basic math.
Yeah.
And I guess that's it. And
then they entertain you for the rest of the time.
Yeah. It's like... It's kind of a great concept.
Yeah.
School? Brilliant.
Damn.
I think on that note, we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
It's a lesson learned.
Let's do a little review, as is tradition.
School is good.
School is good. Stay in school.
Sleeping can result in hallucinations and demons.
Watch out for the octopus man.
Yeah. Halloween is a holiday that sometimes gets canceled because of snow.
Sparage makes you healthier.
Sparage is asparagus, too.
Sparage is asparagus?
Which is kind of weird. And I think that's about everything we covered. Right? I think... Was there anything
that's
else?
That's pretty good. All right. Exercise music.
Oh, exercising, yeah.
That's a thing.
I highly recommend music that gets your blood pumping.
I highly recommend music that you enjoy just listening to.
I enjoy music that's blood pumping.
You madman.
Well, that's the best way to work out.
See you guys later.